아, 네, 그 중에 그 접숨, 접숨세대 간의시대에서는 접숨경호, 산지의 건초, 접숨세대 산지의 건초, 취의 건초, 기류 건초, 숨리의 세지, 개비유세대, 지숨호여송. 하나 둘, 지난 개비유티, 나다, 젤레, 접수조약이, 점조기의 규제가를 남나, 아주 콜링, 아성의 누마젤레야, 지게, 타고도 우선비기, 대래 귀엔 코리안 마스 동아래 귀엔 다치 귀엔 대래 대래 탈구도 선배게 탈주게 삼바 마송기 코아나 동아래 집바제와 진에 탈주게 삼바게야다 근데 대래 집에 니바제 권주스노 요래에서네 네 이십에 대대바 딩이 규시에 딩이라 지 규시야도 되네 동아 타달래 집에 권 동아 타달래 권주스노 동아지 권주스노 깨구래 선배야 권주스노야 물론기 이십에게 다대 이십이라 내가 캠프를 하게래서 디 캠프를 해서 자 디네인다 네 디치네는 저기 니치게 산지에게 접수 외비 김재로 시대에게 망보래 어두시네 그생 디셔
good evening. Previous weeks we've been looking at refuge last week and the week before. So we spoke about that what the meaning or the entity, the essence of refuge is. And we also spoke about what the objects of refuge, the Buddha jewel, the Dharma jewel, and the Sangha jewel are. We looked also at the causes that give rise to refuge, the causes that lead one to turning towards these three objects of refuge, the three jewels, for protection or for refuge. And here those causes are twofold. The first is independence on one's prior reflection on the suffering states of samsara, the myriad sufferings that are experienced in samsara. One generates fear remaining bound in these suffering states, and this perpetuation of suffering that samsaric beings continuously experience. So firstly, fear arises for this perpetuation of suffering. Then secondly, based on knowing the qualities of the three jewels, one has this profound and innermost trust or faith that the three jewels can provide the protection that we desire from suffering, or to express that differently, can assist us so that we can attain freedom from suffering. So these are the two causes that lead to the mind of refuge arising. The first is fear of suffering, and the second is faith or trust in or conviction that the three jewels can guide us to attain a state that's freed of suffering.
Those
two causes that lead to refuge, those of the fear of suffering, for example, in the lower realms, the fear and then having the heart of conviction that it's the three jewels that can provide us with protection from such suffering, we then go for refuge. So that in brief is refuge. And refuge, though, is experienced differently depending on the capacity of the spiritual practitioner. So there's a refuge that's in accordance with a being of initial capacity, a spiritual practitioner of intermediate and greatest capacity. Before then we embark on looking at the difference between the refuges of beings of various capacities, what we should be very clear on is that whilst the refuge will vary depending on the capacity of the spiritual practitioner, the objects of refuge, these don't change.
They remain the three jewels, the Buddha jewel, Dharma jewel, and Sangha jewel. So those do not change.
Before we get to look at what are the differences in refuge, just to make it very clear that the objects don't change, let's remind ourselves of an illustration you would have heard many times. Take, for example, the practice of generosity. If generosity is done with a very worldly motivation, just for some worldly benefit, it's a practice of generosity, and it's for some worldly, and it's within the realms of worldly activities, and will achieve a similar result. It wouldn't even be included amongst the practices of the Buddha Dharma. However, if this practice of generosity was, well, that same activity of generosity was done with the motivation of bodhicitta, then that that act of generosity will be an act in accordance with the Mahayana Dharma. What distinguishes these two is the presence or absence of bodhicitta, the mind of enlightenment. Similarly, that same act of generosity, if it's done by a practitioner who has who's striving from their very innermost being to attain liberation from the sufferings of samsara in their entirety, then that same practice of generosity, act of generosity, is in accordance with a practitioner of intermediate capacity, and they're creating a cause that will ripen in the result of liberation. And similarly, if that same act of generosity is done by a practitioner who is committed to ensuring that they do not fall into the lower realms in the next rebirth, but rather attain a good rebirth of a human or god, that same act of generosity is performed by a practitioner of initial capacity and is a cause that will lead to a good rebirth. So what varies here is not the act of generosity, that's the same. The motivating mind is what distinguishes these varying acts of generosity, and because of the varying motivations, the result that will follow from this act of generosity will differ.
The Michel de Coil of Pimata Chanel of Pingo Marva.
For example, if there's a group of people who are impoverished and are hungry, and let's say there are 20 people, and you have quite a lot of food, and you can feed these hungry people, but you decide, well, I don't really know these people. I don't know their background, I don't know their story, but this crowd, I know them. I identify with them in one way, maybe I consider them my friends. I will help them. So here, what you the person practicing generosity has the capacity to offer food to all these hungry people, but chooses just to help some. So this small group that they help, maybe five people that they help, then their hunger is satiated. The rest, they stay hungry. Or if one has the opportunity again to feed 20 people and decides, I'm going to actually feed half of them. So instead of helping five, one helps 10. So now these 10 are the needs and the immediate needs are fulfilled, but the other 10, that's not the case. They're still hungry. So what we see here is that what differs is the motivation. The motivation to help changes. On one hand, you have 20 people. That's not changing. The person has a lot of food that they can offer. That's not changing. What's changing is the mind of the person who's practicing generosity here. They either want to help just a few or they want to help more. That is where the variation comes, in the way of thinking. Now then, to turn our attention to the varying refuges, the practice of refuge of the beings of the differing spiritual capacity. So a practitioner of initial capacity, their motivation is not, hasn't come about in dependence on reflecting of the wide variety of sufferings that beings throughout samsara are experiencing. Rather, they have reflected merely on the sufferings that are experienced in the lower realms. And they have given rise to a genuine and a heartfelt terror for the sufferings that potentially await them, the sufferings that would be that they themselves would experience should they fall into the lower realms. So with the fear of the unimaginable suffering of the lower realms, that is the first cause for refuge, this fear. And the second and the fifth, they look at the three jewels with heartfelt trust and conviction that the three jewels can provide the protection that they need from that suffering. In other words, through relying on the three jewels, they can have the assistance that's required so as to not create the causes that will lead to rebirth in the lower realms. So this is how a practitioner of initial capacity gives rise to the two causes for refuge, fear and faith. And these just though relate to the sufferings of the lower realms. And their motivation is to be liberated from the sufferings of the lower realms alone. And this is how a practitioner of initial capacity goes for refuge.
Type of spiritual practitioner is that of intermediate capacity. So there, what differs then from the other types of practitioners, again, is not the objects of refuge, but their motivation with which they go for refuge. The causes, on a very brief level, are the same, fear and faith. But what leads to the riser of this fear and their faith, that differs in its profundity. The fear that a practitioner of intermediate capacity has is for the sufferings that pervade samsaras, not just of the lower realms, but of the so-called happier migrations of a human and God as well. So this practitioner has given rise to a genuine and profound fear of the sufferings of samsara in their entirety, and moreover have understood that the sufferings come about independent on contaminated karma that one has accumulated due to one's own afflicted minds. So they have this very profound understanding of the suffering of samsara and its causes, and they have come to thereby realize that a mere rebirth as a human or God in one's future lives is not good enough, and it's not good enough because as a human one continues to suffer, even as a God. Suffering is still experienced, and there's always the danger of what will happen when one again takes uncontrolled rebirth in samsara. One may then fall to the lower realms. So here this practitioner of intermediate capacity, they've come to realize that the current state is that they are helpless, they are lost within the sufferings of samsara, and thereby have come to realize that there is nothing more important than striving wholeheartedly for liberation from suffering, liberation from samsara. So this is all, it comes about through the fear of the sufferings of samsara, the first cause of refuge. The second then, that of faith, is they have come to a heartfelt trust or conviction that the three jewels have the ability to protect them from suffering. In other words, can provide them with the assistance so as to be able to not create the causes, to be born in samsara, but rather to attain liberation from samsara. So in this way, this is what gives rise to their faith or their trust in the three jewels. And this is how a practitioner of intermediate capacity goes for refuge. And similarly then, for the practitioner of greatest capacity, or the practitioner of supreme capacity, their motivation is much vaster, as well as more profound, in that they are not just thinking about their own suffering,
In fact, they have taken that understanding and applied it to all beings who are lost in the realms of samsara. And they see that all beings are no different from themselves. Each and every being longs, yearns for freedom from suffering, to experience lasting, stable happiness. So having overcome this differentiation between self and others, overcome this differentiation that sees themselves as more important than others, they now go for refuge to the three jewels, knowing that the three jewels can ensure, or have the ability to ensure that they, the practitioner, can themselves become a Buddha for the sake of others. So they have given rise to fears of the sufferings of samsara, but on behalf of others, and are motivated to become a Buddha so as to lead all beings to a state freed of suffering. So this is the supreme motivation of a being, a practitioner of greatest capacity. And this is the motivation that leads them to go for refuge to the same three jewels. So just before I translate what Kenda said, just to remind you of the synonyms for the word going for refuge, or the word refuge. So you can say protection or help or assistance. So that gives more of a flavor of what going for refuge, going for help, going for assistance or protection. That's really more what the meaning is. So now to translate what Kenda said, which is to summarize how beings of spiritual practitioners of varying capacity go for refuge. They all go to refuge to the same three objects, and they have as their causes fear and faith, but the motivation is what differs. So the motivation of a spiritual practitioner of initial capacity is they have given rise to a transformative fear of the sufferings of the lower realms, and do not themselves want to fall there in the next life. And so they have given rise to fear, and they have trust or conviction or faith that the three jewels can guide them in how to attain freedom from rebirth in the lower realms in their next life. The practitioner, though, of intermediate capacity, they then have reflected in a profound manner on the sufferings that pervade cyclic existence and have given rise to a determination to be freed of samsara in its entirety. So they have a fear for any kind of rebirth in samsara, knowing that any rebirth, as long as it's within samsara, they will continue to suffer and always be in danger of falling into the abyss of the lower realms. So here the fear that a practitioner of intermediate capacity has given rise to is for samsara, the sufferings of samsara in its entirety. And they have faith or trust or conviction that the three jewels have the ability to guide them to gain protection or to assist them in developing themselves spiritually so as not to fall into the lower realms, but to remain in samsara, but to gain freedom or liberation from samsara. And then the refuge practice of the spiritual practitioner of greatest capacity, they have taken that understanding and have applied it, though, to all sentient beings. And they have given rise to fear of suffering on behalf of all sentient beings, wanting all sentient beings to be freed, and knowing their faith and conviction that the three jewels can lead them to become a Buddha for the sake of others, and thereby guide all beings to a state freed of suffering. So this, in brief, is how spiritual practitioners of the varying capacities go for refuge. That in brief then is the differing ways that beings, practitioners of varying capacity, go for refuge. So as aspirants to the paths of the Mahayana, when we go for refuge, how should we meditate? So we should meditate from the perspective of a practitioner of the Mahayana Dharma. And as we heard, what distinguishes the refuge of the Mahayana Dharma is that one gives rise to the wish to lead all beings to a state freed of suffering, give rise to a wish to become a Buddha so as to lead all beings to attain their own state of Buddhahood. So here one engages in reflection on the sufferings of cyclic existence and applies them not just to oneself. One starts with one's own experience and then applies this to all beings, understanding that all beings suffer in the same way due to the same reasons. And here, when we have given rise to this clear understanding of the sufferings of samsara, and that all beings want to be freed of any form of suffering, we then turn our attention to the causes of suffering, which is the contaminated karma that beings accumulate under the influence of their own afflictive minds. And then we give rise to the wish that this itself, the causes of suffering, is what all beings need to be freed of. Because once the causes are eliminated, one is freed from the causes, one will not experience the result. And then one takes one's meditation further, seeing that the causes are, what one needs to be freed of is the afflictive minds together with their imprints or their stains. And here we then return our mind to who has the ability to lead all beings to a state freed of suffering? Only a Buddha. And therefore, a Buddha is a worthy refuge. In fact, all three jewels are a worthy refuge in that it's through us turning to, relying on the three jewels, that they can guide us in becoming Buddhas ourselves so that we can be the most skilled of guides for others and thereby fulfill our heartfelt wish to lead all beings from a state of suffering to a state of lasting, stable happiness. So this meditation thus far is all analytical meditation. We're using our reasons, we're relying on all the teachings we've received and the teachings we've studied and learned, and we're reflecting on them. We come to the point now that through this analytical meditation we give rise to this heartfelt, this desire to become a Buddha for the sake of others, and to do so, I need to rely on the three jewels. And so we give rise now to a mind of refuge within us. We have this emotional response, and we experience refuge within us. And now we rest with this. We place our mind on this experience of refuge. So here we're moving from analytical meditation to placement meditation. And this is important. On one hand, it strengthens the imprints that we are creating in this meditation. It makes us more familiar with this, and therefore it's more deeply embedded within us. But also thinking for a long term, when we come to concentrate on developing calm abiding or single points of concentration, we need, in order to develop calm abiding, we need a powerful mind of stabilization or meditative stabilization. And this is what we're utilizing here in the placement meditation, where we give rise to the experience of refuge and we hold it in an undistracted way, we rest in it. Here we're strengthening our mind that is called stabilization or meditative stabilization. And we're strengthening this. In other translations it's called concentration, but this is the mind we need to strengthen and will later eventually develop into single-pointed concentration. So here, not only are we gaining through meditating first analytically and then with placement meditation, not only through this process are we gaining strong familiarity with refuge, but we're also strengthening our seeds with this mind of stabilization, so that later, with greater ease, we can achieve calm abiding itself. And those who engage in the preliminary practice of accumulating 100,000 refuge recitations, this is the meditation that they will do. They will go through this meditation as been described, the analytical meditation, give rise to the feeling of the mind of refuge, and then abide in it, and go into the placement meditation. Then they're ready to start doing their refuge recitation. And so, for example, we have on page 23, Namo Gurubhya, Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dhammaya, Namo Sanghaya. And there will be 100,000 recitations of this. But before one engages in the accumulation for that session, one does the meditation as just described. So when one in one's daily practice does this meditation again, one is preparing oneself for later, when one enters into a preliminary retreat, reciting the 100,000 refuge prayers. You may notice here that in this refuge formula that's on page 23, there are four lines. We've heard over these 3 weeks that there are three jewels of refuge: Buddha jewel, Dharma jewel, Sangha jewel. So we have that Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dhammaya, Namo Sanghaya. But you see, there's something before, Namo Gurubhya. So why is there the Lama placed first here? Because that seems like there are now suddenly four refuge jewels. But that's not the case. There remain three jewels. But we see the Lama, our teacher, who teaches us the Dharma, and thereby is guiding us to the achievement of becoming a Buddha ourselves, of giving rise to the Dharma jewel within ourselves, of becoming included within the Sangha jewel. We see our Lama as comprising these three jewels himself. So therefore, in this refuge formula, one starts with Namo Gurubhya. So, but that's because we see our Lama as comprising the three jewels. We've spoken thus far tonight on how to meditate on refuge. Now we continue with this by turning to the text, where how does one go for refuge in practice? So one element is how to meditate on it, but how to develop one's refuge, we now come to that in the middle of page 22. However, taking refuge, but then not observing the refuge precepts, is of very little benefit, and the power of having taken it is soon lost. Therefore, always be mindful of the precepts. So what's been stated here is that for one's refuge to grow, one's mind of refuge to grow, one needs to practice or fulfill our refuge precepts. If one doesn't, then one's refuge is likely to degenerate, to weaken. But if one does so, if one does fulfill one's refuge commitments, then one's refuge will strengthen. Having taken refuge in the Buddha, no longer rely upon worldly gods such as Shiva and Vishnu, and see all statues and images of Buddha as actual manifestations of Buddha himself. So how does one then go for refuge to the Buddha or the Buddha jewel? Well, as we heard last week, the Buddha jewel is seen as the teacher of refuge. And this is because the Buddha jewel has taught the Buddha, the historical Buddha, Buddha Shakyamuni, taught the Buddha Dharma. And the Buddha Dharma is the complete and unmistaken method for those who study and train their minds in these teachings to attain good rebirth, to attain liberation from suffering, to attain enlightenment itself. So knowing that it's the complete and unmistaken method to achieve enlightenment itself has been taught by the Buddha. The Buddha is therefore a suitable object of refuge, as we heard last week. And therefore we have given rise to trust or conviction or faith in the Buddha. And what this particularly means is that having given rise to the trust in the Buddha is due to understanding the benefits of training in the Buddha Dharma. So here, when we go for refuge to the Buddha Jewel, we are committing to study and train in his teachings. This is the meaning of going for refuge to the Buddha Jewel. We are making a commitment to repeatedly receive teachings as well as to reflect on the teachings that we receive. This is our commitment. The training here then is that one, knowing that the Buddha Dharma is the complete and unmistaken method to attain freedom from suffering, to attain lasting and stable happiness, one commits to receive teachings again and again and reflect on these teachings. And if one does not do so, one's refuge will not grow and strengthen, but is likely to degenerate. For example, if one is hungry, one will have the desire to be given food so as to satiate one's hunger. And this we can think of, for example, a child who's dependent on being given food by their parents. So the child, when the child is hungry, has a wish to be freed of the suffering of hunger. So therefore turns to the mother with trust that the mother will provide food. But the reason they want to be given the food is so that they can eat it to be freed of suffering. So similarly here, ourselves having recognized this profound wish we have to be freed of suffering, and having an understanding that the Buddha Dharma is the unmistaken method to achieve that, we then turn towards the teacher of refuge, the teacher of the Buddha Dharma, with the commitment that we will receive the teachings of the Buddha Dharma and reflect on those teachings, because that is the method to attain freedom from suffering, to achieve our desired happiness.
And
Jepsum Bizimba, Sir. Sizada Sanjela, the Migi Tablum Timba, the Duma Seda, Ye Duma Seda, Digitu Tablum Manova, the Sanjum, the Dingri, Sibi Yishawa, Jeva Inza, Yishiwanza, and Sanjum Nidiki, Tablet, Lamlaya, Laburis. That the Migi, Sanjum Nidilia, the Migi Timba, the Yima Sheva, Shije, and Dita, the Sanjum Nidiki, so do they, he took two in Amina Samje, and the Migi.
What one must adopt here is through this refuge practice is that understanding that the Buddha Dharma is a complete and unmistaken technique to attain freedom from suffering and in fact enlightenment itself for the sake of others. Our commitment is that we will receive teachings and reflect on these. Then the text continues, or the paragraph here continues, and it says one should no longer rely upon worldly gods such as Shiva and Vishnu. So what this refers to then is that having this conviction that the Buddha Dharma is complete and unmistaken, and having this conviction means that one is free from doubt. Why would one train in other techniques such as those presented by Shiva and Vishnu? Should one do so, should one have the desire to do so, it would show that one still has doubts about the effectiveness of the Buddha Dharma. And if one then trains in other techniques such as these, one's training in the Buddha Dharma, the success of one's training in the Buddha Dharma will be gravely impeded. One's cultivation of the minds of the Buddha Dharma will not be as successful. So therefore, one should not train in the systems that are not in accordance with the Buddha Dharma.
Sanjila just so big, Chapjula so far, like just to Tingo Marese, Pacos Cosole, Mandu Sangi Yaha and D, Yahu Marese, Yinji, Nijibi, Nimares, Nadinik Boeg in Yahoo, Dinimare. Sisan, now to Tumba Sanji Chumble, Tiji to Chaps draw in the Nadile, want you like Chapjula so far, and Kondo like Chaps driven, Sanji Chumble, Digison Shepherdy, Tabai Nas and Biggie. In a minute, and because Toba Legend, anyhow, to get Sanji Chumble, you soon should be Chedela.
One important point to make here is that one should not misunderstand this refuge precept, that it comes from an attitude of discrimination. Or discrimination in the sense of our founder teacher is best, but the others are no good. The others are worse. They're no good. So this way of looking is a misunderstanding of what is meant here. Rather, what is being presented is that for one's training of the Buddha Dharma to go well, one needs to train in the Buddha Dharma. For one's knowledge and experience of that knowledge. Of the Buddha Dharma to come about, this is what one needs to train in. If one trains also in other systems, this not only is a reflection on ones that one has doubts in the Buddha Dharma, but the result will be that one's inner transformation will be impeded. This is the meaning of the training here. It's not about competing, it's not with other religions, it's not about saying, oh, ours is great, yours is no good. This would be a mistaken understanding. Lastly, on this first point, and see all statues and images of Buddha as actual manifestations of Buddha himself. So here we're being guarded against the mind that says, oh, this statue isn't so good because it's the material it's made out of isn't so nice, whereas this one, wow, that looks very precious and valuable, and so this one is quite wonderful. So this is not the way to relate to images of the Buddha, but rather to see them as manifestations of the Buddha. And if we truly see them as manifestations of the Buddha, we're not going to say, oh, this one's made from wood, it's not as spectacular as this one that's encrusted with jewels. Whichever we are observing, we will see that this is a manifestation of the Buddha right before us. So that is the way that we should relate to images of Buddhas. This precept is actually quite skillful in that should one relate to a Buddha image as being a manifestation of the Buddha, one will create great virtue. If one on the other hand says, oh, this statue is not very appealing, it's not very attractive, I don't like it for whatever reasons, the possibility, the opportunity there of creating vast stores of virtue is lost, because one ends up looking down at this Buddha image. Whereas if on the other hand, that same Buddha image may be not crafted so skillfully, or the material is quite poor, whether it's maybe made from clay or iron, whatever the material is that one doesn't find so attractive, if one puts any such thoughts aside, but relates to this as being a manifestation of the Buddha before me, then one generates a mind of faith, and that virtuous mind leads to the accumulation of merit. So this precept here is a skillful means to utilize opportunities that when one comes before a Buddha image, to consider it as a manifestation of the Buddha, and thereby create vast stores of virtue.
The
As ordinary beings, we need to be very aware of this refuge precept, because there is some danger here. Because this way of thinking, where we say, oh, the statue is really, it's not so well made, or the material I don't find so appealing, what we're revealing about ourselves is the way that we're relating to this holy image is pervaded by this worldly way of thinking, this attachment to certain materials or certain types of form that we find appealing. So here, instead of relating to this object as being a manifestation of the Buddha and thereby creating vast stores of virtue, a mind of attachment is arising. And with this mind of attachment, then we're feeling close to some and distant from others. This is not the way to relate to objects of the Buddha or images of the Buddha.
And in I think
A difference between commenting on the skill of the artist or the sculptor who created the Buddha image, and there's a difference between that and a difference between saying, oh, this Buddha image, not so appealing. This one, on the other hand, is quite magnificent. So there's a distinction there, because there is no difference between the Buddhas, and therefore if we're relating to the image as being a manifestation of the Buddha, then there is no distinction to be made. So we need to guard ourselves from this attachment that's being drawn more to the one end, the beauty and the excellence of the one, and perhaps the disappointment we feel towards the other. So this would be a negative way to relate to images of the Buddha. And that is quite different, though, from commenting on the skill of the artist or the sculptor. There is a variety in terms of the statues or the paintings that artists create. There is a difference from what comes from the skill of the artist, from that side. But from the side of the Buddha, there is no difference. So we need to be quite mindful of our motivation here.
All right. 那就变成出来就是去到国天的蓝天你在叫送过了吧，在出来就是送人家就出来就是切我是不是给新疆的出来就是做他那个的蓝的，但可我当我送的中国他的来他我都实际上过马上的他没路子，实际上的你给俺做的地地你给俺做的三些的路啊来他这个他们电视的蓝天你那是落状切切。
那我点到蓝天山的那组去了，接了人呢，说是去了接完呢，人们说的，那可以中完了，他也给过，可往俺送的中完了，太贵了，是不？太土了，准备一些装备，人家是缺了，就是主要的是吧？其实呢，今天咱们缺了，就是准备给俺们江州老家的开些活儿，现在，但，我第一，俺们去广州，他广州的蓝天的所有区来接给端他了，他广州过来是不？但这些。
三月送来的一个退退些三节，等到三月个团的，你退一个团到伢那样的光顾的，光节光白那，他们是搞的那，他们就过来几个了，就是过节的，他们就去了广州来接触周围的，去广州特别的，他们那样的就光顾的，是不？啊，对，等于的，三月广州的，等于的，都当三角的有嘞。
三月广州接触周围，三月送就不缺的了，缺的缺把钱，让他们来上当。
The next verse, having taken refuge in the Dharma, do not harm any sentient being or be disrespectful towards the holy scriptures. So now we turn to the second jewel, the Dharma jewel. As we recall from last week, the Dharma jewel is two cessations and two paths. So here, one is giving rise to this determination to achieve these oneself, and how to do so? Through training in the Buddha Dharma, to give rise to the minds of the Buddha Dharma within oneself, because when one achieves true cessations and true paths oneself, one has attained liberation. Attaining liberation, one can be of amazing benefit to others. So here, with going for refuge to the Dharma jewel, the training, the precept, is to commit to meditating on the Buddha Dharma. So previously, in the commitment in relation to the Buddha jewel was to receive teachings and to reflect on those teachings. So study, reflect, and now we come to a third, meditation. And meditation then is related to the Dharma jewel. And we're committing here to meditating on what we've been studying and reflecting on, these teachings we've been receiving, meditating on them so that we can give rise to the Dharma jewel within ourselves, these true cessations and true paths. Second part here, having taken refuge in the Dharma, do not harm any sentient being. So here the training is very explicit, it's clear, do not harm any sentient being. So this refers to three individual trainings that we're committing to engage in. The first, not harming, is very clear, this means guarding our ethical conduct. Guarding ethical conduct, it can be expressed in many ways because there's a great variety of ethics. It can be the commitment not to bring harm through guarding our speech, through guarding our physical behavior, as well as guarding our mind. So the ethics of guarding one's body, speech, and mind. And there's another type of ethics such as guarding the vows that we have willingly accepted, whether it's the vows of the non-ordained, the vows of the ordained, the bodhisattva vows, number of vows. This is the second type of ethics, that of guarding the vows that one has willingly taken on. And there are other forms of ethics. But what this comes down to is this commitment not to harm others. And this commitment not to harm others is something we need to develop, this understanding of what it means. It means that others are just like myself in wanting to experience only happiness and be free from suffering. If I'm harming them, they are experiencing suffering and not their desired happiness. I'm going contrary to their wishes, contrary to the wishes of the Buddhas. So this understanding then of not harming, this practice of not harming others clearly includes ethics, but it also involves love and compassion, the trainings of love and compassion. So these three, ethics, love and compassion. So here one is making the commitment, I will not harm others in any way. Moreover, I will strive to benefit them. And this comes through the cultivation then of love and compassion. And the further way that we can understand the importance here of ethics is that one is going for refuge for the goal of enlightenment or liberation or good rebirth, whatever the goal is, in order to achieve these, especially the greater goals of liberation and enlightenment, one has to vastly transform one's mind. To attain liberation or enlightenment, one has to achieve a mental path. In order to achieve a mental path, one has to have the prior cultivation of calm abiding and meditative insight. For all of this to come about, one needs the fertile soil of a stable mind, and that is an ethical mind. So in other words, to achieve liberation from suffering, freedom for oneself, or freedom for others, in other words, to become a Buddha for the sake of others, one needs ethical conduct. And especially when we conjoin ethics, as has been described here, with the minds of love and compassion, then one has committed to ensuring that we do not add to the burden of suffering that others experience, but we only benefit them. We guide ourselves with love and compassion and only benefit others. And this is the meaning of do not harm any sentient being.
We talk a little further then on how to this training of the refuge precept in relation to the Dharma Jewel is this training is the combination of ethical behavior, love, and compassion. So it's good to be clear on what this means. So ethics is here. The ethics is a commitment not to bring any harm to others through restraint of, primarily the restraint of our way of thinking. Because if our way of thinking is not going in the direction of harm towards others, we will restrain our speech. In other words, our way of speaking will not bring harm to others, and we'll restrain our behavior, our physical behavior. That too will not bring any harm to others. And this is in accordance with our understanding that all beings are like us and wanting to be freed from suffering. And if we have taken that intellectual understanding and have
given great strength of it through our cultivation of love and compassion, we will not want others to suffer more because of us. We will, loving others, having compassion for others, we will restrain our mind and thereby our speech and our behavior. We will be ethical in the presence of others or even thinking about others because we will want others to only experience happiness and to be freed of suffering, which are the results of love and compassion. So here we need to combine love and compassion with ethics in this precept of the Dharma Jewel. Moreover, thinking of our long-term gain, a long-term goal of liberation from suffering and even enlightenment, the very foundation for such a goal is ethical conduct, calm, stable, powerful mind. And in dependence on this, we need to engage in repeated reflection on the Four Noble Truths. And through meditating on the Four Noble Truths in particular, we'll make the meditation on selflessness, that the attainment of the Buddha Jewel within ourselves grows ever nearer. So with this cultivation of ethics, combined with love and compassion, we have an ideal foundation to later be able to meditate on selflessness and give rise to the Dharma Jewel within ourselves. And this is because ethics, especially when combined with love and compassion, is an ideal foundation to develop calm abiding and meditative insight. And these two minds, when they are combined in union, have sufficient strength for us to be able to meditate and realize selflessness, realize the Four Noble Truths, and thereby give rise to the Dharma Jewel, the true cessations and true paths within ourselves, and thereby be of a lasting benefit to others, fulfill our aspirations of love and compassion. And then finally here, or be disrespectful towards the holy scriptures. Literally then this is to even a single word or a few words that one should not be disrespectful towards. The meaning here is that we should have come now to sincerely value the Buddha Dharma. We, through the understanding that the Buddha Dharma is the complete and unmistaken path to freedom from suffering, not just for ourselves, but it's a complete and unmistaken path that leads to freedom for all beings. And if that has arisen with us in a sincere manner, even a few words of the Buddha Dharma, let alone an entire text, is an object of veneration, certainly not an object to be disrespected or discarded. So here, very literally, in other translations, one will see it referenced to a single letter or a single word or a single verse. But what it means is, as we have translated here, is towards the holy scriptures, one should only have an attitude of respect.
Gedin
Coming to the third point, starting with having taken refuge in the Sangha. Having taken refuge in the Sangha jewel being those Arya beings who have on their continuum or given rise in their continuum the Dharma jewel, true paths and true cessations. These Arya beings, fulfill the role of, can translate this as our companions in our spiritual developments, our guides or our friends in our spiritual developments. So these Arya beings who are the Sangha jewel, we look to them as our role models. We look to them as being the beings whose example inspires us and we will emulate. So the Sangha jewel we have a closer feeling to, see them as someone that if we act just like they have, we will become just like they are. And in this way, we can easily make the commitment that we will train just like they have. In the same way that they receive many teachings, we will too. In the same way if they reflected on those teachings, we will too. So those are the first two that relate to the Buddha jewel. And as well, they also engage in the third which related to the Dharma jewel, they meditated. So we here again make this commitment to receive teachings, reflect on them and meditate on them, just like the Sangha jewel, the Arya beings have done. So this is something similar to what we do in our everyday life. If we want to, or whatever skills we have, we've done so in dependence on relying on the example of others, relying on the guidance of others, those who are skilled, whether it's singing or dancing or any of our talents. We've achieved these skills in dependence on relying on others who are skilled already, others who have achieved what we hope to achieve. So this we do here. We look at the Sangha jewel as our role models, and we commit to training just like they have, so that we too can give rise to the Buddha jewel within ourselves, the Dharma jewel within ourselves, and be counted amongst the Sangha jewel ourselves. That there then is the training here to be accomplished or adopted. And that then, which relates to what we should abandon, is follows. Having taken refuge in the Sangha, do not waste your time with false teachers or with unhelpful or misleading friends. So this then refers to here at this point in our refuge training, we would have given rise to unshakable conviction in the Sangha jewel. In these Arya beings, our companions, guides and friends on our spiritual development. So these are the beings who we commit to emulate and under whose guidance we will train and develop. But we need to guard our refuge, guard it from the possibility of degeneration, and commit to developing it further in the ways that have previously been presented tonight. And in order to do so, those people that we know who discourage us from virtue, who criticize us for embarking on, in a program of spiritual development, those kind of people who turn us away from virtue, turn us towards non-virtue, we need to be aware of the danger that associating closely with them and coming under their influence poses to our refuge, to our spiritual development, to our accumulation of virtue. So here, this is the refuge precept relating to abandonment, where we need to guard ourselves from coming under the influence of those who would steer us away from spiritual development, who discourage us from virtue.
Is that giving good journal just to one that give you to what that you do and is it to what you have your mother and Chambu share your machiva chess, Chambu Sua, Jinichi your mother said. Is that giving good journal, ye much ever chair, and daily out to what you see, Gigi, and in Yamne, Cassa Church, Lapchelin, Diniki Chevina, a joy or this, Susuki, and in Chambu Meva Chada, the Kyungu's mother. The nigger so so kidding controller, did it to be easy to what they should do, Yavache. They should do a temple, the nigger, they have a temple, Yavache. They need the nigger to wash and dine in the Susu in Europe. Don't have to hear about Susu, can I say, I don't draw one, can I say, don't dada, drop what chin, champuchina, you are the magic, you are my dear, Susu, you are my. Just the nigger, the kidding goes a year much ever to the draw wash and dine, and Yamlin Jena, that got you or a cargo with Jawas, take his tea, didn't you?
Again, here it's important to have this the meaning here clear, so that there's because there is a danger of misunderstanding. So in the world there are many views and opinions. Well, we are all sometimes sick, and we may know that some of our friends have a particular view on healing, what to do in the case of illness, and we may not entirely agree with their view. So such people, we wouldn't go to them and ask for advice on what to do with our illness. We'd rather go to someone that we do trust. So if we have an illness, we would go to a doctor that we trust, we'd receive their advice, and we'd implement it. If we have a friend who has their own particular views, and we know that perhaps some experience, if we go and talk about our illness to them, they may say, oh, don't go to doctors, what do they know? Rather, you should do what I say. So such kinds of friends could steer us down a wrong path, a dangerous path. And those friends, we in such a situation, we need to be wary of. So this is similar to how we should understand this refuge precept of relating to the Sangha jewel. That in our, as beginners who are training, until the point comes when we have unshakable trust and conviction in the Sangha jewel, we need to be wary of when we're with people who are likely to cause doubts to arise, unfounded doubts to arise, who would discourage us from receiving teachings, reflecting on those teachings, meditating on those teachings. Friends who say, why are you doing these things? It's a waste of time. Rather, you should do whatever, something else, which is perhaps not virtuous. When we have, to the degree that our faith and our conviction in the Sangha jewel grows, then it's no harm in being with such friends. just ensuring where the conversation goes and what influence they're having on us and we're having on them. Because certainly we shouldn't restrict ourselves to people who only have outlooks the same as us. There's no fault in being with people with a broad range of views. But we must make sure that the relationship is a positive one and a beneficial one. Their influence on us is not harmful. Our influence on them is beneficial. So this we need to use our wisdom and our skill and ensure that our interactions with others are beneficial and that their interactions with us are also beneficial and not harmful. So this hopefully then is a clearer understanding of what is meant by this refuge precept. I apologize, I've gone a little bit over, so I'll just summarize very briefly what we looked at tonight. So continuing on with refuge, refuge has the two causes of fear and faith. And the cause of fear to generate is for the sufferings of cyclic existence in its entirety, wanting to give rise to a wish, to an overwhelming wish to be freed from samsara. And then having the faith that is through relying on the three jewels, to going to them for refuge or to them for protection or assistance, that one will be able to achieve freedom from suffering. And that this freedom of suffering that we're striving for is not just for ourselves, but it's so that we can become the most skilled of guides to lead others to achieve freedom from suffering. And this meditation we need to engage in repeatedly over a sustained period. And to strengthen these minds of refuge, then we need to accomplish the trainings or the precepts of refuge, which in brief are the commitment to receiving teachings on the Buddha Dhamma and reflect on those teachings and meditate on those teachings, because it's in this way that we will give rise to freedom from suffering ourselves. We will give rise to all the realizations of the Buddha Dhamma and thereby attain liberation from suffering. So that in brief is what we looked at tonight, and next week we'll continue with the refuge precepts. Okay. Thank you very much.